Hello and good morning, everybody. I love seeing all of our kids in here worshiping and dancing. Man, it just filled my heart. So thankful that you guys were able to join us here today. Happy to be in person with those of you that could make it. For those of you that are watching online, man, we miss you. We're praying for you. And that's one of the things I wanted to start out with today. I wanted to start out just as a church, just starting out in prayer, praying for, first and foremost, just our church and for our people some people that are dealing with health issues, stuff like that, but just a lot of other things that are going on today. So that's how I want to start. So if you guys would, man, would you just join me right now as I take a moment to pray over just a few of the things here at our church? God, right now, I thank you for this space. I thank you for allowing us to gather and to worship you in body and mind and soul, God. And right now we come to you knowing that there are some who can't be with us today. There are some who aren't feeling well. There are some that are dealing with COVID and battling COVID. And there are so many different effects that COVID would bring along with it. It affects our jobs. It affects our day-to-day. It affects us being in community, being able to come and to serve and to attend, God. So I am praying, man, just for those who have this deep desire to be here but just can't, for one reason or another. So I'm lifting that up to you, God. I'm also praying against just fear in the midst of everything that's going on in our world, in the midst of recent COVID spikes. God, I'm praying against fear and just uncertainty and the unknown that comes with it, God. And I'm just praying that, man, through it all, we will continue to hold on to our hope in you. You are in control no matter what happens to us or around us. So I'm praying against fear. God, I'm praying against just different divisions and judgments. I see so many people that, man, were once good friends that used to be going to church together. I see families that are being split based on how we think someone else should act or what they should choose. God, at the end of the day, I'm praying against that. I'm praying against the division. And God, I'm praying for unity. Unity in you. Unity in your word. Unity in your spirit. God, we need you in our midst now more than ever. We need you as our compass. We need you as something that we base every decision, every reaction off of. God, help us to lean on you. Lean on your word, lean on your guidance, lean on your understanding so that we can love one another and care for one another the way that you have called us to. God, I'm praying, lastly, for healing. For each of those who are still battling or going through sickness, I'm praying for that. And I'm praying just for continued hope in your promises and in your word and in what you're doing in our lives today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for taking just a moment to pray with us. Well, something exciting is about to happen. Is anyone here excited for school to start back up? All right, I got teachers and parents just screaming and yelling. Some of the kids are excited. It's an exciting time. Man, we're getting to go back to school, and I know my kids are excited. And what's so crazy is we were getting all our kids ready, and this is our little Providence will be going into kindergarten for the very first time. And so there's an excitement to that, right? There's an excitement to the first, but at the same time, there's like this anxiousness. It's our baby going to school. And me and my wife have talked about, you know, just praying very, very much for her teacher and all that, but just her interactions and, you know, for the last, you know, five, almost 6 years of her life, she's been with us. And there's a letting go, right? A letting go of control and allowing your children to go through that and experience that. But it's exciting and it's worrisome. But there's a lot of firsts too. And maybe for you, there's some firsts. Maybe it's you entered into a new role at your workplace. Maybe you're going into if you're a teenager, you're going into middle school or high school for the first time. And there's some firsts. And maybe you're entering into a new grade. Maybe you're in a new season of life, and there's all of these new beginnings that I'm seeing. And that was kind of, this past week, as I was just spending time in the Word and spending time with God, that was the word that God gave to me, just beginnings, new beginnings. And even in conversations as the week has gone by, as I've talked to people, I've just sensed that, man, right now, God is doing some new things, and they're going to be good. But one of the things that I realize is that when it comes to new beginnings, There are new beginnings that happen when we're in prosperity, but there are new beginnings that happen also when we are dealing with adversity. In either or, whether we're dealing with prosperity or adversity, God is still doing something new. And that's what I want to kind of dive into today. Here's what I want to give you this first kind of just write down or something to think about, and that is this. Our perspective at the beginning, at the new beginning, whatever you're getting ready to enter into, whatever season you're stepping into, our perspective at the beginning will affect the journey along the way. Whatever it is that God's trying to do. And maybe you're starting something that you didn't want to start, or you didn't think you'd be starting. And maybe because of that, your perspective is a little bit skewed, is a little bit negative, and you're just not sure how God is going to work and move through that. Can I just tell you that your perspective as you enter into that thing is going to affect the journey along the way, and it's going to affect what God is wanting to do and trying to do in and through you. And as I was thinking about this new beginning and how oftentimes new beginnings happen through adversity, I was just running through all the stories from the Bible and just looking back, and you go and read through the scriptures, Old Testament to New Testament, you're gonna see God bringing people into new after dealing with or currently going through adversity. And I could share story after story after story. I was joking with Chris, our executive director. I was joking with him that I could probably do a 40-week series just about how God has brought people to new beginnings through adversity, because there's so many different stories. But I decided to stick with Joseph's story. You go all the way back to Genesis, and Joseph is the youngest of his brothers and apparently the favorite, and he gets this coat, and he has these dreams and visions about how his brothers and his parents are going to bow down to him one day. And of course, his older brothers don't like that. And the story goes that he goes out to meet them. They plot to murder him. And then they decide, you know what? We won't, you know, get anything out of this. Let's throw him in this pit. And then some slave traders come by and they sell their brother into slavery. They dip his coat in blood and go back and tell the father that he's dead. And so now you're all alone. You're separated from family. You're betrayed by your brothers. And man, God had given you this vision and this thing that you were going to, you know, people are going to bow down to you or worship you or come to you for in a time of need. But now you're in another country, in Egypt, and you're a slave. And this is how Joseph's story begins, as a slave. And then he becomes the slave of a high-ranking official named Potiphar. And quickly he rises through the ranks. Because even though his brothers betrayed him, mocked him, threw him in a pit, and sold him into slavery, he never lost his hope in God. See, his new beginning started in adversity, but he never forgot what God showed him, and so he held on to that. He held on to God's promises and what he showed him. And so he's there, he's at Potiphar's house, and he's rising up the ranks, and his master put him in charge of everything. He was in control of everything, and apparently he was a good-looking guy, and Potiphar's wife took notice and was, you know, just trying to seduce him. And he was, again, holding firm to his faith and to his morals and to his beliefs, and rejected her. And because of that, he was wrongfully put in prison. And again, it's one of those things like, okay, man, you've been betrayed, you've been thrown in a pit, you've been sold as a slave, you rose up, you got lied about, and now you're in prison. And so like, okay, now you can begin to grumble and complain about your circumstance and about, you know, how is God going to get you to where he said he was going to get you? And you can begin to lose hope. But still, even in the midst of prison, he doesn't lose hope. And even in the midst of prison, he continues to do all that he can to work for God's will and for God's glory. And again, he rises up the ranks. And you can see through Joseph's story how the perspective at the beginning affected the journey along the way. He shares translates some dreams for two of the prisoners, and they both come true, and one of them goes back to serve with Pharaoh and remembers him 3-4 years later or something like that, and he ends up going from being a slave to being second in command of all of Egypt. And there's a famine, and he has this plan to store up, and he feeds all of his nation, and people from all over come, and lo and behold, I mean, this is a very, very big story, very vast story if you've never read it before, but his brothers come to get food because they ran out. They don't recognize Joseph. And there's this beautiful moment of reconciliation. and God's plan coming to fruition many years later, and it happened out of a beginning from adversity. And I love, there are so many lines at the end that are just like mic drops from Joseph, but this one's really good. It's in Genesis 45:8. This is all he says to his brothers. He says, "It was not you who sent me, but God." And what a powerful statement. Because I think we can go back and look, or maybe we're dealing with something right now, and we can think about the people that hurt us or betrayed us or lied to us or did something to us, and we could say it's their fault. But that perspective is a negative one. What you can begin to do is change your perspective and say, you know what? Even though I'm struggling, even though this is difficult, even though there's adversity, I know that it's God who's gonna work his will through all of this. And I'm gonna hold on to my faith, and I'm gonna hold on to my hope as I enter into what he's doing. And that's the reality. Throughout your life, you're gonna have many new beginnings. You're gonna start many new paths and new journeys. And some of them you will choose. Some of them will be a calling that God has placed on your life, and it's through prosperity, and you enter into that thing. But there will also be some that happen really without your consent or without your knowledge that will be thrust upon you. You see, either whether it's adversity or prosperity, you got to remember that God is orchestrating your new beginning for his glory. Whatever it is, he's orchestrating, he's working, he's planning. Don't lose hope. Make sure your perspective going into this thing is that God is in control. No matter what happened to me or will happen to me, I'm going to continue to hold on to my faith in him. And sometimes it's hard to not fully understand why we're entering into this new season or this new beginning. But one of the things that, for me anyway, and that I've seen in other people, is if you enter into something and you go into it, no matter if it's something that you want to do or you're not sure why you're doing it, if you go into it knowing that this is God preparing you for what he's about to do, man, that is something that you can hold on to. It's a training ground. It's a proving ground. God is doing something, or God might connect you with someone within this season. It's not the season that he wants to keep you in, but he's got something next. But he's got to get you through this season to prepare you for what he's doing. So maybe in your new beginning, he's creating a connection with somebody. Maybe he's taking you somewhere you didn't think you were going to go. Maybe he's doing something or wanting you to do something that you never thought you would do, all in an effort to connect you with someone so that maybe they don't impact your life, but they go on to impact many others because they connected with you. But it requires a perspective on your part to be positive in this new thing. Maybe that's it. Maybe God is putting you into a new season, into a new beginning, because he needs to change your perspective. Maybe he's got you in a new season because he needs to humble you a little bit. Or maybe he wants to challenge you to change so that you can experience growth. I don't know if you know this or not, but if there's no challenge, if there's no change, you won't experience growth. And many of us, we like to stay in our lane and the thing that we had planned, and we like to go this way. And when someone comes along or something comes along and it ruffles our feathers a little bit, we don't like it. We don't like the change. We just want to stay here. We're good with this. But God goes, hey, listen, I understand that you're good and you're comfortable, but I want you to grow through the uncomfortable so that I can be given glory. And he wants to challenge you in that. Or maybe, just maybe, God has you in this new season, this new beginning, to show you that your last season wasn't your only identity. And I think someone needs to hear that. Because I think sometimes we get so caught up in doing something or going in one direction that we wrap ourselves up and our identity up in something here on this earth. And when it's taken away, we lose all sense of hope. We begin to fear. There's so much uncertainty. And God is taking you away from that thing so that you can begin to understand that your identity is found in him and him alone. So maybe he's brought you into something new to help you realize that your identity is found in him. It's found in him daily. When he calls you to go and to grow in your walk. So our new beginnings, they'll be different directions. They'll require change. There'll be challenge that'll take place. It'll be difficult. But when we keep our faith in the midst of it, when our perspective is one of being positive and remaining hopeful in who God is, man, God will show up on your behalf. But we gotta stay faithful. No matter what happened to us, no matter the season or the beginning that we're entering into, we gotta understand that God is gonna show up on our behalf to will and to work on our behalf. I love how Philippians 2:13 puts it. It says this, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work." That is, he's strengthening, he's energizing, and he's creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. And what I love, first and foremost, about this, that in your new beginning, it's not you. It's not your strength, it's not your wisdom, it's not your planning. But it goes on to say that it is God. And maybe, just maybe, God has you in the new beginning because he needs to take your pride down a little bit and get you to surrender control to him so that he can work in will to strengthen you and energize you and create this longing for you to live out your passion for his good pleasure and for his glory. And so here's what this means. Three things I want to give to you. In the midst of our new beginnings, number one, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Here's the reality. God got you here. You're still here. If you're still here, his promises still remain true, right? He's still got a work to do in and through you. And you may not fully understand it. You may not fully know why. You may not fully comprehend. You may not even fully agree, but he has you here for a purpose and a reason. Hold on to his promises and stay faithful to who he is. Stay faithful. Number two, stay hopeful. Because no matter the circumstance you are going through, God is good. And that's the reality. And maybe through the adversity that you've been experiencing, you've begun to question that. Is God good? Does he still love me? Does he still have his best in mind for me, for his purpose? The reality is, at the end of the day, that God is good no matter what we go through. He is good. And he desires, listen, he desires to do good in and through you. But in order for that to take place, you've got to stay hopeful, right? It goes all back to this perspective. If you enter into this thing with a negative perspective, you're not hopeful. You're doubtful. You're losing faith in who God is and what God has done and what God wants to do in and through you. So we got to stay faithful. We got to stay hopeful. And we got to stay, finally, watchful. And this is one of my favorites, and this is one of the things that I've experienced in my own life. And really, I'm just thinking about this. We won't stay watchful if we're caught up in all the what ifs and the whys and why am I here and why not this and why not that, and we have all this negative attitude about why we're here. We won't see who God is trying to connect us with and what God is trying to do. So we're gonna stay watchful and hyper aware of the moments that God is bringing into our life. I'm calling these the C moments. There's three of them. Be hyper aware in your new season, in your new beginning, in your new journey, on the new path that God has you on. Be hyper aware of moments. The first one is conversations. Because in this new season, in this new beginning, you're gonna have new conversations. And again, depending on your perspective, depending on how you wanna spin the narrative, it could all be negative, or God could send someone into your life to speak truth, to speak love, and to speak hope into your life. But you gotta be watchful for the conversation that he brings along. The second thing is circumstances. You may have entered into this new season out of prosperity, but experience adversity while you're in it. Or you may enter into this new season in adversity and experience adversity or experience prosperity. But no matter the circumstance, no matter what you're going through, man, begin to ask yourself, what is God trying to show me and teach me, and how is he trying to grow me right now through this circumstance? Not as how is God trying to, you know, smite me, or why is God punishing me, or no. How is God trying to grow me and encourage me and then strengthen me? What is God trying to show me through the circumstance that I'm currently experiencing in this new beginning that maybe I didn't choose? So it's the the conversations and the circumstances. And then the last one is just connections. I fully believe that God puts us in certain places at certain times with certain people to connect us together, to do even more for his will and for his glory and for his kingdom. And again, if you go into a new season with a bad attitude or a negative attitude, you're not looking for new connections. You're just looking for a way out or how to get back to the way things were. And God's like, I got something so much better. But in order for you to experience it, you've got to fully embrace this person or this connection that I have for you. He wants to connect you with others. Number one, to encourage you or to teach you something or to grow you. But he also may want to connect you with others so that you can maybe speak into their life and encourage them and help them. And you may part ways, but because of this interaction, and you guys maybe go different ways, God will be given more glory. Because in that season, you were hyper aware of those see moments. And here's what I said. You got these see moments, ready, to see God working and moving. And that, it's just something that easy to remember. You got these see moments, the conversations, the connections, and the circumstances that you're going to go through, that if you are hyper aware of how God is working, you'll see it happening in and through you and around you, no matter if it's through adversity or through prosperity. So we want to stay faithful, hopeful, and watchful. And you got to know this. Even in loss, God is doing something new. Even in the unknown, God is working out his plan. Even in change, he's still directing your path. And even in unmet expectations, guess what? He'll still supply all your needs. Or, as Philippians 2 puts it, it is God who will effectively work in you both to will and to work and strengthen and energize and create a longing and an ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. And always be looking for how God is working and moving in the moments that you get to have every single day. Often new beginnings happen in adversity. And here's why I think that is, because when our faith is tested in just really huge ways, when we feel like everything around us is crumbling, and God is really seeing how faithful we are, when we are tested and we hold on to our faith, you want to know what happens? God is given more glory. Especially when we are tested and the world goes, hey man, I think back to Job, just curse God and die, right? Like, no. I'm being tested in this way because I know that if I hold on to my faith in who God is and what Jesus did to me and the promises that he has for me and even that he has a plan and a purpose for my life, if I hold on to that, I know that he can be given glory through my story. And that's what God wants to do. But we got to hold on to our faith, stand firm in our faith. And despite the adversity that we face, we hold on to our faith, man, God will be given glory. And that's what I wrote down here, is that God is given the most glory when we hold on to our faith in the midst of adversity. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it's been hard. Maybe it's been tough. Maybe there's this new that you didn't want to happen, but you got to hold on to your faith and God will be given glory through it. You look back through all the stories in the Bible and all the adversity that took place, and there's so many heroes of faith that held on to their faith even in the midst of their adversity, so that God be given glory at the end. You know, the reality is this, and I was just thinking about this, every new beginning starts with something else ending. And endings are difficult, no matter how you put it. Endings are difficult, right? But I want you to think about this. Think about the season you're stepping into. What is ending that led to it? Think about the season you're entering into and what is ending that led to your new season that you're in. And as you begin to think about that, do you have a negative perspective on your new beginning, or do you have a positive one? Again, what I said at the very beginning of this, our perspective at the beginning of our new season or whatever God is doing, it will affect our journey along the way. I want to read the rest of 2 Philippians 2, verse 14. Here's what it says. Do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God. Let's read that again. Do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God. Come on, show of hands. How many of y'all are like, God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening in my life? And we're like, I don't understand. We've all done it. And what this is trying to say is, man, that even though we don't understand, maybe we don't fully comprehend what God is trying to do, we got to hold on to our faith that God is still good and that he's going to work it out for our good, for his glory. So do we do everything without murmuring and questioning how God is going to provide or work through us so that, ready, we may prove ourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacons shining out clearly in the world of darkness. And verse 16 says, holding out and offering to everyone the word of life. And this is it. You know, God has called you into this new life in him. He's given you this new purpose in him. And that doesn't mean that you won't face adversity. That doesn't mean you won't go through hard times. But what it is doing is it's building up your faith and growing your faith, and it's allowing other people around you who have not experienced the love of Jesus or the new life in Jesus, and you can begin to show them through your unwavering faith the hope that you have found. I fully believe that those who are not yet Christians take notice when we as Christians hold on to our faith in the midst of very severe adversity, because they may be going through something just as similar, and they may not know the answer. They may not have the promises that you have. And when you stand firm in your faith through adversity, they see it and they are drawn to it and want to know how they can get it as well. And you get an opportunity to shine bright in a world full of darkness. So let 2 Philippians be a reminder to stay faithful, to stay hopeful, and to stay watchful. And here's just four questions before I pray out to ask yourself in your new beginning. What opportunities is this new beginning bringing to me? Be mindful and watchful of those things. What changes or challenges are they bringing in order to grow you for what's coming next? And who is God trying to connect you with? Maybe God has been trying to connect you with someone already. Like, you've been in a new season, and maybe you've, kind of dodged a few conversations or a few things or a few people because you weren't ready or whatever, and they just keep coming up. Man, if that happens again this week, enter into it and see what God does through it. He's trying to connect. And then the last question is this: how does your perspective need to shift in the midst of your new beginning so that you can stay faithful, stay hopeful, and stay watchful? I'm gonna ask that you guys would bow your heads. God, here's the truth of the matter. We know we will experience adversity. And we know that you will work out your plan for our glory through adversity. And here's how we know that: because your son willingly chose adversity, and by adversity, I mean death on the cross, so that I and everyone here could have a new beginning and a new life in him. God, I know each and every one of us is entering into some new season, some new circumstance, something that you're trying to do or somewhere you're trying to lead us. And I know it's hard. And I know it's difficult. And I know we have questions. My prayer today is that we would continue to stay hopeful and faithful, to hold fast to your promises and to your word. God, that as we go through the adversity, as we step into this new beginning, that we would surround ourselves with people to help us, to help us process what happened and what is happening. God, that we would be people that would be vulnerable, that we would reach out and ask for help in our new beginnings. Because you don't put us into new seasons and expect us to do it alone. First and foremost, you want us to rely on you, but you also want us to rely on each other. God, so I'm lifting up to you right now each and every new season, new beginning. It may have come out of adversity or prosperity, and maybe leading to adversity or prosperity, but what we need to remember that through it all, you are still good and you are still in control. And that at some point in our life, we heard about your son, we experienced your son, maybe we saw your son through how someone else reacted to adversity in their life, and we were given a new beginning. And because we have found that hope and live in that hope, we can hold on to it and know that you're not done. And you're working a plan through us if we'll just hold on to it. God, I pray that you would give us the strength, and you would energize us, and you would work and will for us to have this passion to do your work in the midst of the new season that we're entering into. God, right now, I pray for those that are listening who are here who maybe have never began the greatest new beginning ever through your son, Jesus Christ. And maybe they've looked to all other kinds of things to try to help them along the way, and they just keep finding themselves down and out and doubtful and uncertain and fearful. And I know this, that Jesus is the answer for that. If that's you today, I would ask you right now to just spend some time with God, go to him, recognize who Jesus is, that he did die for you on the cross, he rose again so that you could have a new beginning in him through Jesus in a relationship with God. God, thank you for our time here today, for your word and for challenging us. God, I'm praying that as we enter into our new seasons, that we would stay hopeful, faithful, and watchful. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.